Have a seat, everyone. That was great. Thank you. Well, I was kind of excited because they said, Sean, you get to just welcome the first-time guests, and we gave you a little bag with this great mug in it, and then Colleen starts giving out $50 bills, and this looks like nothing now. You know, I was like, I was kind of looking to see if there was a 50 in here. Yeah, nah. But, you know, it's okay. You know, one person was having a great day so far. But, you know, if you are a first-time guest, we do want you to know that we have these gifts for you. And we just put a lot of thought into this because we just want to let you know that this is a home. And we want to be your home. And so this is just our way of saying welcome home. And you know, I think they even, right now, we are now getting high-tech. We have moved into what, the 90s or what? No, where are we? Tommy, you got that up on the screen? Okay, so here it is. Just look at that and go, ooh. Okay, so I guess you text welcome. So what happens when you text welcome? I should try it? Somebody, yes. Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you asked. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess somebody, you know, we respond with a personal. Yeah, that's personal. That's just, okay, well, that's it. So if this is your first time or you're brand new to our church, seriously, though, I mean, we do want to get to know you, and this is where we start. And it's just, we just want to make it easy. And I guess in our church, the thing that we want you to know is that we believe every person here has value and every person is important. And so this is just a start. You know, there's a gift, there's this, there's that. But really, it's just a statement for us. That we want you to know that we want this to be your home. So with that, I just want to pray for this morning. Also, just let you know, one of the things, too, we're doing in Life This Church is through missions. We believe that we are here to be a blessing to others. And so we have a missions group right now that is putting together some pretty neat things. And I'm looking for a couple more people to be on my missions team. And so if you want to know how you can be involved in making a difference locally in the Bay Area and worldwide, catch me afterwards. And I would love to have you be a part of that team because I think some neat things are happening. And I would love some people who just really have a heart for that to join me. Sound good? Okay, let me pray one more time. Jesus, speak through this morning. Use the words that you've given me to bring people closer to you. And Lord, today as we talk about what it means to have God in me, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and fill us. And so, Jesus, we give this day to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, one of the advantages of being at a middle school is we kind of get to know a little bit more about kids in our community. So I don't know if you've noticed, we did not put these signs up, by the way. Just if you're wondering, what are they trying to say to me at church this morning? But, you know, it's interesting because we're talking about what fills you up. And I think what I saw in these posters, right, is I think these students are trying to reach out to people and say, okay, this is something that fills me, and maybe you can resonate with that. So if you're Alejandro, there you go. Go Warriors, right? You know, because a vote for Alejandro is a vote for the Warriors, okay? And, you know, it's pretty smart. You know, you're linking yourself up to a winning team there. Now, this is my favorite one, the next one down. This is Dawson Lai for Secretary, please. That broke my heart. That's like, please vote for me. And he spoke my love language because he's got chocolate and pizza. And I thought, okay. So for Dawson, you know, his thing, you vote for me, your life is going to be filled with chocolate and pizza. Or then there's Cammy. Clap your hands, say it loud. Cammy's the one that makes you proud. Okay, so Cammy fills your life, you're a little prouder. I don't know how Jamie does it, but Jamie said there's one behind here that has a donut on it. Now, I didn't even see this, but Jamie, he like sees donuts everywhere. And so, you know, and so the thing is that I think what these people are trying to tap into is what kind of fills you up. And if it's the Warriors or chocolate or pizza or donuts or Cammy, I mean, these are not necessarily bad things, right? I mean, when I was in junior high, I was thinking about this. When I was in junior high, my favorite thing in the world to fill me up was onion rings. How many of you are onion ring people? And I remember being in junior high, and my grandma said, Sean, it's your birthday. It was my birthday. I'm going to take you out. You can eat all the onion rings you want. That was like my dream come true. And I did. I ate so many onion rings that I got so violently sick that to this day, I have never touched an onion ring. Seriously. Never. If you have something like that. So you see, there are things that fill us up that are good and sometimes not so good. But what if I were to say to you that I believe the thing that God wants to fill you up with more than anything else is His Holy Spirit? What would you say? Okay, well, amen. Good. Good start. I know the answer. The answer is amen. Okay, so, but see, here's the thing. That for some of us, I think that's just, it comes across a little, it just sounds a little strange. I mean, being filled up with the Holy Spirit, what's that like? How do I do it? Where do I start? And so what I want to do today is to show you that unlike some of these other things, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not only a good thing, I think it's the best thing. And I think that God's purpose in giving us the Spirit is not to overwhelm us, but to let us be guided by His presence, His influence, His goodness, His power, and to let that change us and those around us and our families and our kids and our marriages and our world. And so today what I want to do is I want to... I guess show you how to be filled with God's Spirit on a regular basis, okay? And you say, well, what if I get too much of it? I promise you, you will not get violently ill, okay? Just so you know. Can we turn off the lights? Because for me, I don't know, I'm at this stage of life where I need to see. So let me just tell you, it's kind of interesting. At the very beginning of the Bible, right? Very beginning of the Bible, this is what it says. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now, that word breath is from the Hebrew word. It's called ruach, which is the same word as spirit. And so from the very beginning, we see that God breathes his spirit into his people. And what we see is that the spirit is a living soul. It's a spiritual being. And we are filled with God's own breath and vitality. God's own spirit. And so in the Old Testament, it doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit. It talks about the Spirit of God coming to certain individuals. In the Old Testament, we see where the Spirit is present, life is present. In fact, I heard this from one of my favorite pastors, John Ortberg. He said this. He said, in the Old Testament, the ministry of the Holy Spirit involved a powerful operation of God where he would come upon a certain individual to give them capacities beyond their own limited abilities, enhancing their insights and strengths so they could perform great works to serve God's redemptive purpose. And so you see that throughout the Old Testament, you see that the Spirit is not absent. In fact, the Spirit is at work, calling, equipping, giving, strengthening, transforming. And they're just, I just put several examples here. For example, when David was dying, right? It talks about this, he says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. And so in David, we see the Spirit giving wisdom and words. In Judges, for example, we see the Spirit giving supernatural strength and courage through someone like Samson. And Samson didn't necessarily use that well, by the way. But the Spirit came. I love the way that Samuel just says how the Spirit is going to come upon Saul in 1 Samuel 10:6, he says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And then the Spirit also gives giftedness. And we see in Exodus, giftedness in terms of inspirations, gifts of craftsmanship. Now the problem here is that in the Old Testament, it seemed that the Spirit of God was limited. It was sometimes temporary. And so it seemed that it was a certain situation. And so every now and then, you'd see someone here receive the Spirit. But the most part, you don't see it happening with everyone. But now, here's the thing I want you to see, is that when we start to read the New Testament, okay, now we're talking about now that Jesus has come, right, what we see is a whole new way of viewing the Spirit of God. In the New Testament, the Spirit is for all. In fact, this is what Jesus says in John chapter 7. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you knew that, right? Because you hear about living waters, right? But here he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And so what Jesus is saying, look, the Spirit is like living waters flowing from within the thirsty who believe in Jesus. And the Spirit is active and moving and satisfying and strengthening. Jesus said to the disciples, even again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I find it fascinating because here's what Jesus does. He says, look, you know what? I am sending you. And every time Jesus says, "I am sending you," it seems that there's a connection with the Spirit here. And you start to wonder, why is that? Because here's what Jesus is wanting. He's saying, look, I have a mission for you. I have a job for you. I am sending you to be my witnesses throughout all the earth. Right? I am sending you, and because I am sending you, I want you to know that I'm not just going to say goodbye, good luck. You know, wouldn't that be terrible if I were to go to you and I'd say, you know, "Dan, look, I'm going to send you for a really special job, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be a lot." And Dad says, "Well, great. How do I do it? How can you help me?" I said, "I don't know. Good luck. Goodbye." You know? And horrible. Horrible. But here's the thing, is what Jesus says, look, you know what? Because I want you to do the supernatural thing, I'm going to send my supernatural power. And so I am sending you. You see, church was never meant to be lived in the four walls of a building, okay? Now, here's the thing. I love it when we come together. I think we need to come together on a regular basis. But, you know, it's so fun to me. Like yesterday, I was at the Art and Wine Festival. How many of you will confess to going to the Art and Wine Festival yesterday? Okay, good, good. That's why you're here today. And I don't, others might be here at 10:45 or maybe not. I don't know. But see, here's the thing. You know, so for me, what I love best about the Art and Wine Festival is, so Leslie Levitt has put together this great team. Leslie's done a great job on this root beer floats that we're selling. I had three people come up to me and says, "You know, you'd sell more if you sold hard root beer floats." Thank you. Goodbye. And but the best thing I liked about it is that it just seemed like God kept orchestrating conversations. You know, Dan Carlock and I were out, we were calling people out, and Dan would say, "Hey, you with the face, come here." And he'd start talking. He'd say, you need to rip your float. And then we start talking, and people say, "Hey, don't I know you guys? I used to go to Clayton Community Church." I heard that a lot, actually. "I used to go to Clayton Community Church." So I said, "Well, that's why we started coming to you, because you're not showing up, you know?" And so I actually prayed for people at the Art and Wine Festival. Most of them were sober. It was really good. And the thing was, though, that just as like Colleen said this morning, she felt directed to give someone $50. And some of you are going, "Oh, come on. Really?" And here's my answer. Really. I believe that was God directed. And so here's the thing, is that I see it again and again, that as people ask, the Holy Spirit is free to give. It's like living water. It just rushes out. See, I think some of us think that God's stingy. Well, God will work in your life. God works in the pastor's life, because God's not going to work in my life. Why would you think that? See, the whole purpose of this is that God is sending his Spirit. In fact, Acts 2:16 says this. This is, by the way, the great prayer of Israel in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's said again, in the last days, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all the people." On all the people. Now, the thing is, it's not if, but how full. See, if you have given your life to Jesus, God's Spirit has come to live in you, okay? Now, the question is, are you just going to let the Spirit sit there, so to say? I mean, it's like if I gave you a new car, right? And you say, "Hey, here's a new car, here's the keys," and I come back a couple weeks later and it's still in the driveway, and I say, what's going on? And you say, "Well, you know what? It was so nice, I just didn't want to ruin it. I just look so nice over there, and I just thought I'd just let it sit there." No, you don't do that with a car, right? You drive it. Why? Because that's what cars are made to do, right? Same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is made to move and work and live in your life, and you are meant to be full of the Holy Spirit, right? See, here's the truth. Okay, here's the big truth today. Everyone here is full of something. Just so you know.
Everyone here is full of something. And it may be pride, it may be anger, it may be lust, it may be the Warriors, it may be, now you're meddling, Pastor. It may be chocolate, it may be pizza. But what if I said to you that, you know what, you were made to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What kind of difference is that going to make in your life? See, it's interesting. Paul says this in Ephesians 5:18. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. I didn't just pick that just because it was Art and Wine Weekend, just so you know. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to a debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting that Paul compares the two, right? He says, you know, you can get drunk on wine, or you can get, you know, filled with the Spirit, right? And what's he saying? Well, people who get drunk with wine, well, they walk differently, they talk differently, they act differently, they think differently, they feel differently. But alcohol's control results sometimes in impaired judgment. Just want to say sometimes, okay? In impaired judgment. But here's the thing. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you walk differently, you talk differently, you act differently, you think differently, you feel differently. But the Spirit's filling gives improved judgment. Let me give you this definition for the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the influence or control the Holy Spirit exercises over us when we yield ourselves to Him, when we allow our lives to be permeated by the Holy Spirit. We will reflect God's moral character and be strengthened by His power. We will be filled with His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's the question. What are you filled with? What strongly influences you? What do you want to be filled with? And how am I filled up on a regular basis? I just want to throw up four things to you, four ways that I believe that God wants you to be filled up and how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And they're four very simple things, right? But I think this is where God has us here this morning. The first is this, is that if I am to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I first need to be Christ-centered. Now that sounds like, well, yeah, duh, okay, but here's the thing. You know, Jesus says this, to this you recall because Christ, or Peter says this, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In other words, Jesus is saying, follow me. Follow me. In fact, Jesus even says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, he will glorify me. You see, that's what the Spirit wants. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Now, if you look next, you'll see on your outline. Did you all get an outline? I wanted you to have this outline because I want you to take it with you. Now, you see that little diagram? That sucker took me a half an hour. Okay? Just so you know, that's how bad I am at communication. So I need you to look at that. To justify the time I spent on that. Do you see that? Do you see that? Yeah, you're saying this guy is so pathetic. Okay, so, but there's a point in this, right? Okay, it's the difference between a pie and a wheel. Okay, did you notice that? One's a pie. Choose your favorite kind, okay? But see, I think that for a lot of us, Jesus is like a pie. Okay? In other words, we got a slice for Jesus. We got a slice for work. We got a slice for marriage. We got a slice for kids. We got a slice for sex and friendships. I thought I'd throw that in there, wake you up. And you say, well, which piece of the pie do you want today, right? Because see, there's not room for more than one at a time. And so here's the thing, is that for some of us, you know what? It's Sunday. Jesus is the piece of pie I get today. Oh, Monday's work piece, okay? But now what if we don't look at Jesus as just one piece of the pie? One sliver in our existence. What if we look at Jesus as the center of a wheel? And at the center of a wheel, what's at the center? It's the hub, right? If you have a bicycle wheel, you have the hub, and then all the spokes come from the center, right? Now, if Jesus is the center of the wheel, if Jesus is the hub, and everything else comes out of that, then that's a whole different way of living life, isn't it? Because now Jesus is the focal point from which everything else flows. And so our thoughts and our aspirations are all focused on Jesus. I think that's one of the reasons we take communion today, so that we can recenter ourselves around the person of Jesus and the work he's done on the cross for us. And through his death and his resurrection, we have new life. And so this is an important part for us here today, of one of the ways that Christ centers us again. See, I don't want Jesus to be a piece of your pie. I want Jesus to be the center of your life. And it's not just because I want it. It's because this is what God wants from you. And if you're a person who wants to be Spirit-filled, that's where you start. That's where you start. Now, the second one, I don't have a fancy diagram, He says, how am I filled up? I'm filled up when I'm in God's word and in prayer. All scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy tells us, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, the word of God is life. It's God-breathed. God's spirit has breathed into it. And I just know that as I spend time in God's word, as I let that fill me, as I learn God's word, God brings to mind the things I need to know when I need to know it, right? When Jesus was in the wilderness, remember that story? Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. He's hungry. He's tired. And the devil comes to tempt him. And how does Jesus respond every time? Every time he responds to the word with the word of God. I love the way Colossians chapter 3 puts it. It says this. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Isn't that interesting? Dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitudes in your hearts to God. You see, God's word brings life. And then here's the thing, is that the Spirit is involved when we pray. Listen to this in Romans 8, chapter 8 in the Message translation. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. I tell you, I know so many people have told me, you know what, I want to be more involved in the church. I'm just afraid to pray. A lot of people say, I'm just afraid to pray out loud because I don't know if I'm saying the right words. And so I say, well, why don't we try it? And so this is how a lot of times people start when I say, let's pray. And they say, okay, I'll give it a shot. Oh, great and merciful, omnipotent, wonderful maker of all heaven and earth. I'm like, holy smokes, you talk like that normally? I thought that's how I was supposed to talk. Now, by the way, if you talk like that, great. I don't. Mine's usually this. Help! God, I need help! Help me! And you know what? God speaks my language. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't know how you pray. I don't want you to be caught up in the eloquence of it. I want you just to pray when things are on your heart that you say, God, I need your help with this. Oh, Lord, I need you here. Oh, God, I want your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, help my marriage. Lord, be with my kids. Yeah, I've been thinking of Brian all week in North Korea. All week. I've not been able to stop thinking about it. I've just been praying so much for him. It's Brian Swanson, part of our church, and he's in North Korea right now because he felt God wanted him there. That's crazy stuff. I've just been praying every day because that's my heart just is there with Gary and the family. And I just think, I think that God loves it when his children talk with him. And I think when I'm spending time talking with God, I hear his spirit speak to me. And there are times when people ask me to pray for some things that are pretty horrific. And I think, Lord, what am I going to say? And every time when I pray, it's like God gives me words. Because you know why it's like that? Because it is. And I think that if I want to be filled up with God's Spirit, then I need to be in word, his word. I need to be in prayer. Now, here's the next one, and I very intentionally put this next one just to annoy you, just so you know. I really did. I was going to change the wording because the word is be submissive, right? And just so you know, 90% of you hate that word. And you hear that and you go, oh, I don't like this pastor. And you know what? That's why I kept it in there. And this is why. This is why. Because, see, God calls us to submit to him and his word. You see, submission is a voluntary yielding of our rights for the rights of another person. By the way, the Bible says submit to one another in marriage. The Bible says to submit to fellow believers. The Bible says to honor your parents, right? And here's the thing, is that God wants us to submit to his words. Listen to this in the book of Ephesians. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this. This is Paul speaking. That there be no going along with the crowd. That's no life for you. You learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life, it's got to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on, the Bible in some translations say put on. It's like putting on a new set of clothes. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside. And is that what we hear oftentimes with how the Spirit of God works? On the inside out, right? From the inside, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Now what is this talking about? It's talking about an attitude. It's talking about who has control of your life. It's talking about the authority of God's word. And so here we see that if I want to be Spirit-filled, I have to submit to the Spirit of God. It's just plain and simple. Allowing his Spirit to fill me each and every day. And the last one, the last word I want you to hear is to be confident. Now that sounds like a very general statement. I was reading a little book. It's like my dummy's guide to the Holy Spirit. It's how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I thought that was a pretty good book. And I was looking at this, and it had this in there. And at first I was like, I don't know if I liked it at first. Because I thought, why be confident? And this is what it said. It said, when you have submitted the Holy Spirit's leading, you can know that you've done your part, and having done that, you can be absolutely certain that God has done his part. He has responded to you by filling you with his Spirit. Because of that, you don't need to wonder if you're spiritual enough to be filled with the Spirit. You don't need to compare yourself with other believers. You don't need to keep looking for some spectacular sign from heaven. You don't need to wait for a great feeling of tingling excitement to sweep over you. Rather, you can know with absolute certainty that because you are doing your part, God is doing his part. And this confidence will help you live day by day in the assurance that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The walk in the Spirit is a walk of confidence in God. And this confidence produces spiritual victory because of a continual awareness of the Spirit's presence, of a conscious dependence on the Spirit's power, of an acceptance of the Spirit's help in fulfilling the law of God, of a deliberate putting off of the flesh, a willful rejection of sin, a determined pursuit of what is right. You see, this is where our confidence is found. This is what Romans 8:2 says. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. In other words, God's saying, trust my provision and my power to keep my part of the bargain. And there's a confidence in that. Now let me tell you, if you're saying, well, how will I know when the Spirit is working in my life? And the Bible is really clear on this. It says that, you know, there are certain fruits, there's certain evidence of the Spirit's presence. And I don't know about you, but I heard this as a song when I was a kid. It's amazing how children's ministry has an impact for us for all our lives, by the way, which is why I'm a big fan of children's ministry, by the way. But it was a song I learned when I was a kid. Now, I'm not going to sing it for you, but it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what's that saying? That's saying that if the Spirit of God is filling me, if the Spirit of God is in me, those fruits, those things, those evidences are going to be seen in my life. And here's the thing, not only will I start seeing a difference, but others will start seeing a difference. So here's the thing, if you say, wow, I am anything but that. I am not patient. I am not, what is it? I am not joyful. I am not kind. I'm not good. Well, then you got to say, okay, then you're filled with something else. And so here's the thing. I want you to do this, and this is the risk. I want you to ask others who know you well. I mean, just look at that passage and say, where do you, it's in Galatians chapter 5. In fact, I forgot to put there it is. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Ask others who know you well, where do you see evidence of God's Spirit in my life? That's a good dinner conversation. And what areas do I still need to grow in and give over to God? By the way, this is something to share with people you trust, okay? This is not something to throw out on a Sunday morning. I am not going to say to all of you, hey, what do you see? No way. Or when people come up to me, Pastor, you know what your problem is? I do now. Bye. Okay? Here's the thing. Is you have people in your life. I hope you do anyway. If not, Let's talk about that. But I think there are people in your life that know you well. And when they see your life, I wonder, what do they see? Maybe it's time to ask. Do they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? And if they don't see that, if you don't see that, maybe it's time to refill. Maybe it's time to do a check. Maybe it's time to say, God, I need to get back on track here. Okay? You see, what I'm hoping you hear this morning is this, is that when you leave this place, you will go out and live the life that God has given you. And you are going to be filled with something that drives you, that motivates you, that influences you. And it can be a lot of things. But the thing that I believe with all my heart is that the one who fills you the very best is God's Spirit. And you can leave that car in the driveway all you want. Or you can say, God, let's go out for a spin. And I dare you to ask Jesus to be at the center and submit to him and his word and pray and spend that time trusting in him with confidence to do a work not in everybody else's life but in your life. Let's start there. Let's see what the Spirit of God does. So here's the thing. I just want to pray for you, and then we're going to have communion. And actually, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Ron. Let me just pray, and then while you come up. And then Pastor Ron's going to lead us in this time of communion. So Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would come and speak in and through us. I pray that we would be filled with your Spirit, Jesus. It's in your name I pray.